Blog Talk Radio.
Introducing Hardee's $5 All-Star Meals. Loaded with satisfying classics. For just $5, you get a charbroiled double cheeseburger hot dog and, oh yeah, fries, drink, and a fresh baked cookie. Or a double cheeseburger, a spicy chicken sandwich, and what? The fries, drink, cookie thing again? Or hand-breaded tenders and, spoiler alert, fries, drinks, and cookies for days, y'all. All for just $5. The $5 All-Star Meals. Stop by Hardee's and get yourself one today. Price and participation may vary. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Tax not included.
Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes I go right when the right way was left. Cause the scribbles look so sad. And he says you can win them all if you try.
Open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Master Farad Muhammad. He is the Almighty God in person. He is Allah. He is Jesus Christ. He is the Savior and the Redeemer of the black nation. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Master Farad Muhammad. We open up in the name of his last and his greatest apostle, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I greet all of you in both their names with peace. As-salamu alaykum. Brothers and sisters, we're going to do an intro that's a little different from the one we always do. So I just want to talk to you before we go into the show. We have a hard time getting on the air to talk to you about this truth that alive, make it manifest. Always. Let me tell you, I have to just drop a few things, and it's almost unbelievable the pressure that is put on the Hiram's 1555 blog and the Star and Crescent Report and the things that we go through. Now, we have a blackout on the phone lines. So, and we have a blackout. We can't use Skype. I don't know what's going on. We can't use the phone lines that we normally use. There's a blackout, nothing but static on the phone lines. So we have to come to you. We have to broadcast to you through cell phones so that you're getting a little grimy or grittier show today because we're broadcasting through cell phones because the lines are acting up. Isn't it ironic that the lines are acting up right when the show is about to go live? I'm telling you, this is something. Also, the Hiram's 1555 blog is back up and running. You go over there, read the articles, go over there, show your patronage and help us out. It took us a few months, but we're back up. We stayed persistent, and we overcame this devil. All praise is due to Allah. Now let's go into our show. The Empire of War is running on fumes. Brothers and sisters, I think absent this show, you don't get a deep analysis of what is actually transpiring with America, the Western world as a whole, and the entire world. When we look at the economic situation of America, and we look at what is going on across Europe, all of these things can easily be understood if we are to look at them through the translation of prophecy through our Rosetta Stone. You know, a Rosetta Stone, as the commercial goes, it is the easiest way to learn a language, right? It is the easiest way for comprehension and to be able to speak a language that you have desired to speak for a long time. Well, we are also learning a language of divine, a language of God. And this Rosetta Stone is the last message of God. He's given you a language to learn so that you can be able to communicate with the righteous. Listen, when you use Elijah Muhammad's blueprint, you can see everything that is going on in the world prior to all of these things happening. I was talking to Rashid, Brother Rashid, a few days ago, last week, and he and I were laughing, and we were talking about what's going on in the Middle East and in the economic situation. What's ironic is this stuff that we're talking about, he and I and a couple of other brothers, we talk about these things constantly. So when it happens in the news, we talk about this stuff behind closed doors. And when it happens in the news, we laugh about it. And we're telling, how can people not see this? But it is because you are not using the Rosetta Stone to see these things going on. A lot of things that are happening in the Middle East right now. I got information months ago that they were happening. I was telling the brothers behind closed doors that now we're seeing what's going on in the Middle East exactly the way it was said to us. But what's amazing about this, even on the show and even on the website, when we give you this truth, you don't accept it as it should, and you want to dispute it all the time. What I'm trying to say to you, that if you don't pick up this Rosetta Stone, you can put yourself in harm's way. Because what is coming down the pipeline and coming very soon will send you to the breadline, or it will destroy your family or your life. Because America cannot save you. She will not be able to give you a job. She will not be able to protect you from the hardships and the evil that is to come. Why? Because she herself cannot protect herself from the culmination and the fulfillment of divine prophecy. She's running on fumes. The Empire of War is running on fumes. She's bankrupt internationally. She's bankrupted morally. She's bankrupted domestically. And she's fighting to stave off certain destruction and collapse. Is that not right? We know it's right because we have proof that it's right. We have proof every day that America is in decline. There are, we just got word that about a dozen more retailers are about to shutter or shut their doors, meaning tens of thousands of employees will lose their jobs. We have gotten word, and you can Google this, that Illinois is in a worse predicament with her budget than she was last year. And this is a microcosm of what is going on around America. State by state, some of them are hiding just how bad the fiscal outlook is. State by state, she's collapsing. The dominoes are beginning to fall. I want to, let me go, why it's on my mind. Let's go to Our Savior Has Arrived. Because we're looking at a lot of things that are taking place and we're not understanding it. We're not understanding why America's in Africa. We told you she was hiding her hand that she had bases in Africa. We told you these things. I was as a matter of fact, as we're talking on the economic side, and as I bring up this this thing about America's bases in Africa, I want to share something with you. I was reading something, some government report, and something caught my eye immediately when I read this government report. And then as I read it, I was reading another article on Russia Today, and they were doing an article on the Pentagon. I'm going to show you just how much America lies. And I'm gonna show you just how much she fits the bill as an empire. Remember that not even Babylon, not even Rome, not even ancient Egypt could claim to be an empire in the way that America has gone around the world and spread her tentacles and put bases everywhere. Okay? And this requires a lot of fiscal spending to maintain. Money that she does not have, money that she tries to threaten and bribe the nations to give to her to recycle her dollar system. I'm gonna show something that escaped some of you guys' attentions, okay? Because I know sometimes you hear us say America has at least 800 bases around the world, all right? I know you hear us say that America has 1,000 military bases around the world. Well, I was reading this government report, and some of you should do this sometimes. And I'll give you the link if you like. You can read it for yourself. And it outs America about how many military bases that she really has. And remember, these bases are not free. She must spend millions to maintain these bases on a month-by-month basis, right? Whether she calls them logistical centers, training hubs, right, forward bases, or humanitarian, or whatever you want to call it. These are military bases. So I was reading this report, and it's called, you can Google it. The base is BASE, B-A-S-E, structure report for fiscal year 2015. For fiscal year 2015. Google this. And in this report, the Pentagon is giving their assessment to Congress so that they can try to cut down a couple of bases, right? Russia Today addressed a little bit of that, but you need to read the report from the Pentagon, okay? It's called Base Structure Report for Fiscal Year 2015. And then this report, America gives the rundown, the lowdown of how many military bases that she has abroad. And most people didn't catch it. She does not have 800 military bases abroad. She does not have 1,000 military bases abroad. America has close to 5,000 military bases around the world. You see what I'm saying? Now, she's been telling people we have 1,000 or we have 800. But in this fiscal report, matter of fact, I think Russia Today, in their report, they say something about that. Let's go to Russia Today for a minute. America's trying to reposition her, and all this has to do with you. You know how we do it. We're going to explain this stuff. We're going to enlighten you of some things that may have gone over your head. We're going to tie it to prophecy, and we're going to bring it home to you, okay? Just give the brother time, all right? So they call him Mad Dog Mattis. He says in this, what is it, Russia Today article, he says, Mattis estimates that 19% of U.S. military properties worldwide may be dispensable, a figure cited in a Pentagon report urging a base realignment and closure review, or BRAC. The estimate is based on the military's need in 2012. A BRAC review would assess how and what Pentagon has matches the current needs. Now, this is the way it's written, so I'm reading it exactly the way it's written. And there may be some errors in it, but I'm just reading it the way it's written. And could potentially bring about base closures by the 2020s, the examiner reported. However, the recommendation has repeatedly faced obstacles in the legislature. While getting rid of excess assets could save up billions over the long run, its opponents argued that the immediate costs the closures will incur could outweigh the long-term savings. Now, what is he saying right here? He's saying that even though they know that they have excessive amounts of bases, to me, multiple bases are excessive bases, because when you have military bases in other nations, you damage the sovereignty of other nations, right? But what does America care? And the congressmen don't want the bases to close because they're scared that this would cause a ripple effect in the economies of their local constituencies, bringing them to their knees in their races to maintain power or to maintain office. So let's go a little further. See, this is how they talk to you. They talk over your head so that you don't understand what's actually taking place. But we're talking about the empire. So we're showing you just how the empire runs. It says, even if the benefits are greater, some lawmakers are worried that they may take quite a while to come about. For example, the last round of BRAC took place in 2005, and it is only expected to start generating savings next year. Another concern is that local communities, which benefit from the money the Defense Department pours into developing the local military bases and surrounding infrastructure. Stop right there. See, here we go again. The military-industrial complex may give jobs, but a nation cannot survive on a military-industrial complex. So America has been snared in a catch-22. If she stays with the bases, she goes bankrupt, which she's already bankrupt, but she will officially have to declare bankruptcy. If she removes some of the bases, guess what happens? She still goes bankrupt. They don't know which one will bankrupt the faster. So this is what is perplexing to them. So let's go further, because we're just about to hit home with these bases, okay? Not all branches in the U.S. military are equally excessive, Smith said. Factored in the average 19% figure are the Army with 29%, unneeded assets, and the Air Force with 28%. Across all its services and agencies, listen to this. I want you to listen closely to this. This is what we're talking about right here. This is what everybody missed here. It's right here. Across all of its services and agencies, the Defense Department possesses almost 5,000 military sites around the world, according to its base structure report for fiscal year 2015. That is the Pentagon's report. Do you understand that? Bet you didn't know that, did you? Almost 5,000. That is five times or more than six times the actual report by even scholars who are against America's empire. Isn't that something? Think about that. 5,000 military bases around the world. You don't think she's an empire? You don't think that God is justified in removing somebody that will not leave other nations alone to live? Notice everywhere she goes, when trouble starts, she's never the cause, she's never the problem, but she's always in other people's business. And the people who are wanting to be left alone are always the cause. North Korea, Venezuela, Argentina, Brazil, all of Africa, parts of Asia, in the bulges of Europe, America's there, but she's never the culprit in her own eyes. And it is always the aggressive Russia, the dictator Muammar Gaddafi, right? The dictator Assad. Do you understand this? This unjust way of thinking, this unjust way of meeting out justice or international law must be removed. So the world is being set up with America. So you see other nations starting to dump her dollar because they now realize that her dollar has put a stranglehold politically and economically over the nations of the earth and has allowed her to let loose her tentacles of destruction and colonialism universally without exception. So they're now moving against her. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, and let's go to this, because he says, as to the days of the Son of Man, I would rather say that they refer to years rather than days consisting of 24 hours. The Holy Quran also refers to it as the days of Allah. This means years. Listen to this good. Because some of you, when we talk about doom, you think God's going to blink his eyes and it's all over. Like I Dream a Genie or Bewitch. When they snap their fingers, wrinkle their nose, tell on their ear that boom, it's all over. You believe in this magic foolishness. And remember that magic is only misdirection. It doesn't work like that. For God to remove a world, first he must be justified in removing it. He must show the world his shame. And let the people see the injustice. Let the people feel and taste the injustice. Let the people yearn for change. And only then is he justified in removing that world. So the world is now looking at the greatest pillar of colonial or Anglo power collapse. They're looking at the policies of America and England and France and Germany and all of these European nations. And the world is fed up. And they're telling the world, they're telling them we are moving towards something new. Nicolas Maduro, when America moved against him, and they're still moving, Europe is moving against him now. He says there's a whole world outside of the Anglo-colonial world. And they all have sent their love and support for the Venezuelan nation and the movement of Chavezism. This means that outside, and remember when America, I got to say this too, but it's on my mind. When America wants to move against a nation, she says the international community, when all she's talking about is that small area of the world, which is America, Canada, and Europe. They don't even comprise one-fourth or a quarter of the planet's population, and they're always referred to as the international community or the first world. Everybody else is second, third, and fourth world nations in their eyes. Now let's go to something what Elijah Muhammad says. Y'all be patient with your brother, okay? The Holy Quran refers to this as the days of Allah. This means years, as it takes years to remove a whole world and bring in a new one. There is so much that has to be done. See, there's so much that has to be put into play for people to understand why God is removing this world. Don't you see the dry bones rattling across America? Didn't you just hear about Trump when he told it? And now, first he admitted it, now he's denying it, that in one of his talks with one of the people who were killed in Africa, and to be honest with you, I got to address something on this too. The black guy who was killed in covert operations in Africa, in Somalia, I believe it was, when he was 4 or 8 or whatever, got ambushed and killed there. They shouldn't have been there from jump. He told the grieving mother, well, he knew what he signed up for. That's what he told the grieving black mother, the grieving wife. He knew what he signed up for. And if he didn't want to sacrifice it, he shouldn't have signed up. This is Trump. But let me tell you something. The whole black political scene is up in arms about what he said. And you're going to be mad. But he's dead right. He's dead right. He's just giving it to you all like that. You cannot, well, let me put it in these words. God is against America. We know that through scripture. We know that through prophecy. We know that through just common sense. If you are a member of America's military forces, these forces of imperialism, which God is on the scene to remove, you become an instant enemy to God. I don't care how much you praise Jesus. I don't care how much you love Muhammad. If you are in the army of Satan, how can you then grieve when Satan has no compassion for you? When you are killed in the line of duty of protecting the empire. You understand? You are not supposed to have fellowship with Satan. Is that not right? Is that not what your Bible tells you? But I digress, and let me move to this point here. There is so much that has to be done. What is we have to show you. We have to point these things out to you. We have to remove the curtains. We have to remove all of your excuses of why you should. We've got to show you beyond a shadow of a doubt the nakedness of the empire. So you have no expiation. So you have no excuses. So you have no crutch to lean on. You must accept truth and reject falsehood, or you can accept falsehood and reject truth. The options are there for you. But you must have a choice. You must see these things and make your decision. So this is some of the things that have to be done. So God sends you, he shows you, he opens up this white man to you, this man of sin. Remember, God says that in the last days that he would reveal this man of sin to you. He didn't say a spirit of sin. He said a man of sin. M-A-N, of sin. He was telling you it wasn't no spook. He was showing you that this man who has called sin, he's a man, a real live human being. Right? And so who's causing wars and destabilization and overthrowing governments all around the world that won't submit to Anglo power? American Europe. Is that not right? Who is putting an economic stranglehold over the nations of the earth? Who is threatening other nations with war? Right? Who has an arsenal of over 10,000 nuclear weapons, yet is afraid to let an aboriginal or a member of the black nation have one nuclear weapon? Who supplies weapons? Who are the largest manufacturers and suppliers of weapons on the face of the planet? Yet, they supply to their enemies, I mean their allies, but you can't give your ally a slingshot. Who is it? When you decide to stand up for your brother or your sister nation, it's called aggression. It's called destabilizing the world. It's called being provocative. Yet they can gallivant around the world with their might of arms on display off your coast, close to your airspace, next to your land borders. You understand? This is showing us beyond a shadow of a doubt how the empire is desperate and running on fumes. 424, I'll get you in a second. Hold on. So, he says there's so much that has to be done. People have to be convinced that he is justified to remove the world of sin. For the world of sin has ruled the people for 6,000 years. So, by showing you the injustice with an army full of your people, with all of the stuff that you have brought to the table, the free labor, the free lives, the sacrifices, the brain power that you have given to them, and they still call you nigger, still show favoritism towards their own, will not give you justice, will not treat you right, will not teach you right. This shows you the injustice, and you're angry, you're mad because you're longing for justice, you're longing for change, but they continue to put a stranglehold over you. This is to convince you something has to be done. Right? Is that not right? This is to convince you. So much has to be done. The people must be convinced. North Korea is convinced. Right? The people suffering in Libya are convinced. The people in Syria are convinced. The people in Iraq are starting to be convinced. All over Africa, they're being convinced that America and Europe are truly trying to prevent them from rising. China is convinced. Venezuela is convinced. But what about you? The lost found people whom God came after. The ones who have been mistreated, misused, and abused for four centuries. Yet you still have a little convincing to be done. Huh? It's a time, brothers and sisters, what he says. There are so many people who are sold to the idea of the wicked world rulers. Some of us, we can't see past what America has offered. We can't see past what the Western world continues to beat in your head. You look at their technology and you say, wow, they have a technology. But you notice the technology continues to crap out. Continues to decline. The more high tech they get, the worse the products are. But you just looking at the high tech, oh, look at this. We are advancing so far. Brothers and sisters, a time is approaching where you will be forced to make your decision. What will it be? Will it be a decision away from Satan and his empire? Or will you go down in flames with the empire? Before we go a little further, because I want to hit a point home with this. I want to go further. I want to get this clip, these clips in to prove to you what I'm saying about how the empire is running on fumes. I'm going to go to the 424-374. Please, please make your comment or your statements brief, okay? And so, and if you have a question or statement, please let it be in line with what we're talking about. So I'm going to go to the 424. You're on the Star and Crescent Report with your cyberspace family. I say unto you, As-salamu alaykum.
Well, Islam, sir. How you feel this morning, brother? Outstanding on teaching so far, brother, as always.
Oh, brother. Oh, walaikum salam. How you doing, my brother? How you doing?
I've been having issues with my cell phone. I had to call in on another line, brother. All praise and due to Allah.
Okay.
I want to touch on what you spoke on about the lion Trump earlier. What goes untold in the mainstream media is an article came out, in fact, yesterday from the Free Thought Project speaking on the lion Donald Trump. It says Trump has killed more civilians with illegal drone strikes in 9 months than Obama did in 8 years. It says Trump has followed through on his promise to bomb the hell out of ISIS and has killed more innocent civilians in 9 months than Obama did in several years. And, you know, Obama did a lot of bombing, brother. So
yes,
this
sir.
Devil, you know, course to break some records. It goes on to say, while the mainstream media focuses on anything but the current state of U.S. intervention in the Middle East, the Trump administration is breaking records by accumulating a horrific number of civilian deaths. Former President Obama earned the nickname of Drone King when he dramatically escalated the use of drone strikes, while also downplaying the number of innocent civilians who became collateral damage. In the 2 years that his administration devoted to publicly spending millions of taxpayers' dollars to fight the Islamic group, the estimated civilian death toll ranged from 2,300 to 3,400, according to Airways, an organization tracking deaths in the war against ISIS. During Barack Obama's 29 months at helm of ISIS war, we tracked 855 alleged civilian casualty events, which likely killed 2,298 to 3,398 civilians. President Trump has been in office for 9 months, and he has already surpassed Obama's murderous record with estimated number as high as 4,500 deaths. Trump made headlines in December 2015 when he declared that if elected, he would not only kill members of ISIS, he would also take out their families. He is following through on their promise, according to a report from Stephen Feldstein, former U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of State. Feldstein noted that research have documented the rise of the killing of entire families in likely coalition airstrikes under the Trump administration. This trend led to the deaths of at least 57 women and 52 children in Iraq and Syria in May. While this may come to as no surprise, but just to let you know, brother, how evil this wicked regime is of America, they are at their last days, so they are desperate, so they're doing everything they can to hold on to their rule. But Allah is forcing them into these incidents and these wars to bring this empire down as he is doing. But just to let you know, brother, what this devil is doing in his lying ways, you can't get out of the helms of what Allah has brought down on America, and that's his wrath to destroy this wicked regime. Brother, continue on. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you, my brother. Wa alaykum salam. That's good. I'm glad that brother brought that up. I'm glad he brought that up. See, and that comes to something. Okay. America is a murdering society. She is a mass murderer. Why do you think most of the mass killings around America are done by Caucasians? I'm serious. I just want you to understand it. Let us look and see, because white people, when they look at stuff, they don't like to look in the mirror. They like to show, well, black people in the city is crime, but then they don't go to the heart of it and say why the crime is there, right? Because we're caged in areas where they won't allow us to break out. Only a few people seep out, and that's if you're a sport and play and if you're this and that. But they continue to hoard you into these communities like animals so that they can experiment on you through the food and the drugs, keep you down, won't give you loans, won't allow you to do this. It's so much. But listen, with all the things that they have, who goes around and bombs the people? Because we know that the cabal that the white people keep talking about, we know that the so-called central bankers that they on the X-22 report likes to always talk about are all white people. We know that. Right? They're all white people. Why are they always declaring war or warring on people or invading countries? Why are they all? See, the domestic life of America mirrors her foreign life. She kills, she maims, she bombs, she shoots, she stabs, she robs, she rapes, she pillages. The same thing that you see her doing in Africa, in Asia, in Central and South America, in the Caribs. You see her doing in her own borders. You understand? Matter of fact, I have some people that were saying the same thing about U.S. mass murderers. I want you to listen closely. This is about 4 or 5 minutes.
Terrorism is use of violence to advance political goals, particularly when the violence is being directed against civilian populations or against non-state targets. And now there are plenty of people who use violence against non-state targets or civilian populations who are not necessarily engaged in terrorism per se because they're not trying to advance political goals. They're simply committing a crime. As for the fellow that was involved in the Las Vegas shooting, Stephen Paddock, it has yet to be revealed what his actual motive was. From the information that's come out so far, it appears that this was an older man in his 60s. He apparently had acquired some level of wealth, but he also had issues with gambling debts and things of that nature. There has not yet been any genuine evidence provided that this man was motivated by political objectives. It seems more likely at present that he was a psychopath who simply was into killing people for the thrills of killing, and there are certainly people like that. And for him to be qualified as a terrorist or classified as a terrorist, there would have had to have been some sort of political motive or objective that he was trying to achieve. Because that's the conventional definition of terrorism. Terrorism is distinguished between from ordinary crime. If someone simply commits a murder for or a series of murders for or the mass murder for multiple for gratuitous purposes or for non-political reasons, that's generally thought of as conventional criminal behavior. We have had incidents involving terrorism in the United States coming from many different kinds of demographic groups. We've had situations, for example, where people of the Islamic faith have some particular political motivation that they're trying to achieve, and they engage in terrorism for that reason, that is violence against non-state targets or non-political targets or against civilian populations. We've also had black and brown people who've engaged in violence of that kind. And we've also had white people and white males and Christians and others that have engaged in that kind of activity as well. There was a very notorious case a couple of years ago in the United States where a white supremacist, a neo-Nazi, went into a black African-American church and shot 9 black people in the midst of a church. There was a white male by the name of Eric Rudolph that was committing a series of terrorist acts some years ago. At one point, there was a lot of terrorism directed towards abortion clinics, including the assassinations of doctors that perform abortions. Virtually all of those, as far as I know, were carried out by white males. About over 20 years ago, there was a bombing of a federal building in the United States. It killed about 150 people, and the perpetrators of that were white males as well. So it's certainly true that white males have committed plenty of terrorism in the United States, particularly terrorism motivated by racism and to a lesser degree by religion. And we've had incidents of people of other colors or people of other religions committing terrorism as well. The overwhelming majority of terrorists are males. We have had some incidents of terrorism involving females, but most terrorists seem to be males. But there's no evidence at present that the man responsible for what's going on in Las Vegas was motivated by politics. We have issues in the United States as well with people who are mentally ill, people who are simply antisocial personalities who also engage in mass shootings. That's in addition to political terrorism. We've had a number of cases like that of, for example, there was a case a few years ago where a guy who was obviously mentally ill went into a school and shot a group of students. We've had another incident that was very well known some years ago where a couple of young men in their teens went to their school and shot and killed a number of kids, other students. And in those cases, there's no evidence that there was a political motivation. These were just simply crimes, albeit spectacular and shocking crimes. This is something that's, I wouldn't say it's common in the United States, given that the United States is a nation of 320 million people. And when these mass shootings happen, they're terrifying, they're dramatic, they're spectacular. But they're not nearly as common as people think because of the publicity they get. The average person in the United States has about as much chance of being killed by being struck by lightning as they do by being killed by a mass shooter or a terrorist. So that's something to keep in mind. A little bit of perspective is in order. And while the United States does have a lot of problems with firearms violence perpetrated by ordinary criminals, by organized crime, by terrorists, by mentally ill people, other societies have problems of a similar nature, although frequently it's a civil war, armed conflict between armed groups and things of that nature as well. So it's important to maintain a certain amount of perspective. And at this point, this man, there's no evidence that this man is actually involved with a terrorist organization or that he's motivated by political terrorism. He seems to be more of a, as I said, an ordinary criminal or perhaps a mentally ill person who's simply acting out, unfortunately.
So, through everything that he said something that was very important. He said most mass murderers in America are predominantly white and they're male. Now, let us see if there's a pattern here, okay? Let's see if the domestic life mirrors the geopolitical life, right? When they bombed Vietnam, who was in control? Huh? White people, right? If you look at ISIS, America's CIA tools, what color are they? If you look at the Taliban, when it was called the Mujahideen, remember that? I mean, y'all are something else. Y'all had these short memories. Go look at Rambo. I believe it's Rambo 3 or 4 or something like that. In Rambo 3 or 4, at the ending credits, they give thanks to the Mujahideen. Go look at that. It's in. I want you to go. See, what I'm saying is if what I'm saying is not true, you can easily prove it. But if what I'm saying is true, it's just as easy. And you can say, okay, Brother Rashid is right on this. Brother Rashid is right on this. So let me give him the benefit of the doubt since he's been right on this stuff about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad so long. Let me give him the benefit of the doubt and see what's going on. So, hey, brothers and sisters, I'm being hit with a virus. It is trying to download and take over my computer while I'm talking to you. Man, this devil will not leave me alone. So I don't know if I'm still on the air, but I'm going to talk to you, okay? Everything is just frozen right now, all right? Let's see. I don't know what's going on here. I'm here with you all, but I'm going to try to keep it 100 with you and keep going. If I'm live, please somebody hit me up on the cell phone. One of you who have my cell phone, please hit me up. Okay. I get the phone call. I got the phone call, Brother McCall. Thank you, brother. So listen, This is what I'm saying. You see this live on air. This is what goes on as we're trying to get the truth to you. So you know that I'm not making this stuff up. You are witnesses to this live on the air. You witnessed this on the website. You witnessed this on Facebook. I've been banned from inviting people to listen to the show on Facebook. They just told me I was banned from it for a while. And they'll tell me when I'm able to invite people to come to the show on Facebook. They gave me no reason whatsoever. They just told me that. Okay? But anyway, I digress on that issue. And I'm just telling you, you know what? Instead of me talking about this, I want you to look at something. I want you to listen to this, okay? Since America is not a mass murder, since America, as they say, is this exceptional nation, and since the Western world is so good in their thoughts, right, then why the hell do they keep waging war? I'm just putting something out there. Why are they fighting like hell to control other people's land? Why won't it, since black people can't govern themselves, since brown people can't govern themselves, since red and yellow people can't govern themselves, right? And since you hate us so much, white people, as you say, if it wasn't for white people, we would kill each other. How about you just give it a try and move all your races and all your people out of Africa, out of Asia, out of South and Central America, and allow them to do that. And then all of your problems are solved. Right? I'm just asking these things. The reason they won't do this is because they are succubuses. They are vampires. They need reasons to stay in your nation, to extract your brain power, to extract your labor, to extract your wealth, to extract your blood and your sacrifices for them to live. You don't have little resources. Right? America needs bases in Africa to control the geopolitical landscape, the economic landscape, to keep the dollar going, to keep the empire going. She needs these things. Notice every time she destroys a boogeyman, another one springs up out of nowhere. Come on, let's talk for a second. She so-called killed Osama bin Laden. That was supposed to be the end of terror, right? Then out of the blue, ISIS. The acronym. And notice that each time a new boogeyman comes up, it's even a more derogatory look for Islam and for Muslims. Is that not right? And then you get all of this information about her training them. She, notice this, she always knows the leaders. She always knows their command structure. She always knows what they're about to do, but she never does anything about it. Have you ever known? She can pinpoint a penny from space with her satellites. But she can't pinpoint a convoy of armed vehicles moving from border to border. Her intelligence pinpointed where Muammar Gaddafi and his entourage was. A few, what, 20 cars. But she could not pinpoint over 1,000 Ford trucks mounted with military equipment moving from Iraq to Syria. She couldn't pinpoint that. Does that make any sense? Our brothers and sisters, I want you to think. You see, you don't get a pass on this show. You got to think. You lazy. And you are believing the lies that they put out for you. It's just bad, brothers and sisters. You've become so lazy. This white man has conditioned your mind where you don't think. The fire was so hot at 9/11 that it burned and melted steel and concrete. Yet America found a scorched paper passport on the ground. And from that scorched paper passport, she was able to identify everybody, all of the attackers of 9/11. Is that not right? Do you ever think about that? And do you notice in America, when a crime that is not plotted by the government happens, it may take her weeks or months or even years to try to find the culprits in this, right? But if an attack that she plots, a false flag attack that she plots on a major scale and try to pass it off as a act of terrorism within 25 minutes of the event taking place on all of the news screens, they have all the information of the attackers, their family history, and everything. You ever notice that? I'm just saying. I might not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm not the dullest either. And I'm just asking you to think about these things. This is a crazed and depraved mind, a crazed and depraved government running on fumes trying to maintain hegemony at all costs. So, Brother Rashid, I'll get you in just a second. Why is she doing these things? And what does it have to do with you? Huh? I can't get you at this moment, Rashid. Just hold on. I can't, because my screen is frozen, all right? And I'm trying to see, I'm trying to work this thing out. I'm still talking to the people, and I'm still trying to unfreeze my screen. Come on. Just give it a second. Give it a few seconds. I told you that the thing is under attack. I hope it's unfrozen right now, brothers and sisters. Here we go. Thank God. All praise is due to Allah. So the reason she's doing this is because she knows she has a short time. She knows that what we're watching is a slow motion wreck of America, the collapse of America, the collapse of white power. I say this a lot, universally. And she doesn't know how to deal with that. Because for the last 4,000 years, she has enjoyed uninterrupted rulership over the globe. And now God is removing her power by degrees. This is what the Quran is talking about. This is what Elijah Muhammad had told you, that Allah is bringing America down by degrees from which you cannot perceive. There's an economic destruction of America. There's a political assault on America with the nations now meeting outside of America's authority. And they're coming up with game plans on how to buck up against the empire, how to resist the empire. And at home, America is saddled with debt, division, and despair. And that's why I tell you all, it is a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's very beautiful because you're getting a chance to see what most people never got a chance to see. The prophets wished that they could live to see one day, and your whole life has been in the presence of the Son of Man. We're constantly under attack too, brothers and sisters. I just want you to understand why, while I'm talking to you all, brothers and sisters, we are still being hit, okay? Rashid, be patient with you, brother. Let me get to something. And hopefully, I just don't understand what's going on here. They are really attacking this thing. They're making the screen go black, come back up. So, brothers and sisters, y'all be patient with your brother. This is what I'm dealing with, okay? So, here we are. Hopefully, there we go again. We're back up. Rashid, I'm going to try to get to you in just a second. I want to go to something real quick, okay? I want to show the people that America is desperate because she knows she has a short time, because her global empire, her economic reign is coming to an end. When we talk about a global economic reset, when we talk about a global financial meltdown, when we talk about a decline of the dollar or the destruction of fiat currency, when we talk about America in trouble or Europe in trouble, when we're talking about the fall of America, we're talking about the change of worlds, we're talking about the end of white domination over the nations of the earth. This is the root of it all. This is why America is trying to do what she's doing. This is why England, as bankrupt as she is, goes hand in foot with America. This is why Europe is desperate to hang on to their former colonies in Africa. Because they need something. Because the economic system, the financial system, their way of governance, which is what we call their substance of wealth, is being taken from them. They are falling. They will never recoup what they're losing. And they're trying to stop the hemorrhaging right now. But it is impossible. And brothers and sisters, we are still being, as I'm talking to you, every so often the screens are doing it. So you guys bear with me, brothers and sisters, please. We're gonna make it through this show, whether we play one clip or whether we play all the clips. We're going to make it through this show. All right? And I want to say this also. If I'm disconnected, Don't go anywhere. Let me try to get back on. Give me a couple minutes to try to get back on. If you get disconnected, do the same thing. You know how they do us. So it's a shame that I have to say this all the time. But we have to say this for the new listeners that come in. You who have been listening to the show already know the deal. But those who are new, we have to tell them if you get disconnected, call back in or log back in. If you can't log back in or call back in, be patient. Wait a few minutes, then do it, okay? But the economic situation is going down, and it is starting to become terminal. I want you to pay close attention to this clip, if I'm allowed to play it in a few seconds. Okay?
Here we are. In the future. Now, the only question is, who is going to control it? Now, we've been following the economy, and we see that there are many, many pieces to the economy, and many of the pieces are starting to fall apart. We see out in Canada, Sears, as we know, they're in a whole lot of trouble, and the whole entire retail market for them is completely imploding. And it looks like Sears Canada, they're going to be liquidating about 150 stores. That's about 12,000 jobs. Now, Canada adds around 12,000 jobs each month. Now, let's think about this for a second here. There's going to be 12,000 jobs that will be lost. That means there's going to be a lot of part-time, full-time people looking for work. Plus, all those stores, all that commercial real estate becomes available right now. It's going to be vacant. And we know that Canada adds around 12,000 people a month. Now, this is going to be a huge problem. Of course, they'll manipulate the numbers somehow. They'll make it look like everything's fine. They'll spread it over time. This is what the U.S. does. And a lot of countries do copy this, and they're going to make it look like it's a lot better than it really is. But we can see just from this is not the only store. We have Toys R Us. We have Gymboree. We have many, many other stores that are in a huge amount of trouble. And as we move forward, there's going to be a lot more stores that are going to be added to the bankrupt stores. Now, we know the automobile industry, they're in a heap of trouble. GM is going to be laying off about 1,500 more workers because right now, as we know, car sales are plunging. Now, they're trying to do whatever they possibly can to get people to purchase cars, and this is why they've been going to the subprime people, to the subprime prime people. No money down, and remember, when you buy a car, you're really not using your own money. You're just borrowing this money. Now, as we can see, they are cutting production. They're going to be laying off people. A lot of people are thinking this is just temporary, but as we're getting word from GM, this is not going to be temporary because what they're saying is that sales are not that great. We might be bringing back a lot fewer people, but we're going to cut production, and we know what happens as time goes on. All of a sudden, they'll end up closing the plant because they just can't make the sales. Now, we can see by all these different indicators that the economy is accelerating to the downside. JP Morgan Chase, their net credit card charge-offs remained over $1 billion as of September 30th. And to be precise, this is the highest level going back to March 2013, and we've seen this before. It looks like we're ticking up once again back to the 2010-2011 area where the charge-offs were very, very high, and this is just another sign that we are in a heap of trouble. Credit card losses in JP Morgan Chase went from $1.3 billion up to $1.5 billion. So we're in trouble here, and this is just another indicator that we have a huge amount of problems. Now, we talk a lot about real estate, and we talked about how the real estate market is not doing well. And the National Association of Realtors polled around 2,000 millennials between the ages of 22 and 35 about student debt and home ownership. Only 20% of those surveyed owned a home. Of the 8 in 10 that didn't own a home, 83% of them said student debt was the reason. 84% said they have to delay home purchases for years because they're just not making the money and they have too much student loan debt. Now, that is absolutely awful. And we can see the housing market is really getting hit. But we know, and we talked about this before, there was a home builder called Lennar, and they announced that they would pay a big chunk of the student loan for any borrower buying a home. That means they are desperate at this time because they cannot find people to purchase homes. Now, we need to think about something. Debt has become such a keystone of our society that the only way we can afford something is to swap one type of debt that you can't afford with another type of debt. Now, those people who are just coming out of college or, you know, they have a job or they've lost their job, you know what I'm talking about. It is very difficult to go out and purchase a home, purchase a car with cash. And a lot of times when you go to the store, you're using credit. So there was a study by Pew Charitable Trust show that 41% of U.S. households have less than $2,000 in savings. A full one-third have zero savings, including 1 in 10 families with over $100,000 in income. Another study showed that 70% of Americans have less than $4,000 in savings. The point is, America is broke. A single surprise expense like a flat tire or a doctor visit could wipe out most of these individuals. And people who are continually buying homes, cars, TVs, college education, all they're doing is adding to their already existing debt. And they just keep on taking on more debt. They're not making any more money. They have higher payments. And this is the way the central bankers like to have it. They like you to be in debt. This is their whole entire plan. This is what they do. Their product is debt. And they want people to take out more debt. They don't want people to have savings. They don't want people to use cash. They want people to use debt. This is where they make their money. This is where they get their control.
So, what we're looking at, they're telling you that America's bankrupt. Okay, now, my question to you, and Brother Rashid, as soon as my dashboard comes back up, I'll go to you on the phone line, but I'm waiting for it to come back up again. During the clip or whatever, it went down again, and I'm just waiting for it to come back up. I'm using my cell phone microphone to mute and unmute me instead of using the microphone on Blog Talk Radio, okay? Because that's the way it's going. For those of you who are just joining, you know that they are messing with the original phone line so that I have to come to you via cell phone instead of the original phone line. And Skype, I can't use Skype. I don't know why, but this is what we're going through. But anyway, let me say this to you. If the nations are moving away from the SWIFT, which is the so-called global financial network that America and Europe put together, and they're moving away from CHIPS, which is the global network that America and Europe put together, and they're moving over to what China and Russia is putting together, and if they're moving away from the London and the New York Stock Exchange to the Shanghai and the Moscow Stock Exchange, where you can actually get gold and silver and trade the currency for that. And if they're also UnionPay and these other financial instruments that China and Russia are lending themselves out to the world to, if more nations are joining on with that and they are arming themselves to the teeth, and we have proof that America has nearly 5,000 military bases around the world. We just read it, right? Not 800, not 1,000, but nearly 5,000 military bases, right? Not including the hundreds that she had within her country. If the nations are moving away from that, and if the nations are trying to sell off their dollars and replace them with yuan or ruble or whatever, or trying to get precious metals, right, or something that's tangible. And we look at America and the publicized $20 or $21 trillion debt on top of the $300 trillion debt that she owes, on top of the $5 quadrillion in derivative debt that America and Europe is in. And you hear Mr. Dave says that America is bankrupt. And we know that Europe is just as bankrupt as America almost, right? How in the hell can the system be maintained? And if you need money to maintain the empire, which maintains your political and cultural influence over the nations, if you no longer have the money to support your military adventures? How can the empire continue? This is the question that is asked. If you have no money, but you use your empire, your military, to maintain empire by forcing others to buy your debt, but the fear is leaving the people and they no longer want to buy your debt, how can the empire be maintained? Talk back to you, brother. Let's go to the phone line. My dashboard is up. Hopefully they will allow my good brother Rashid to come on. Brother Rashid, I'm clicking. I'm hoping they'll allow you to come on. I clicked it, brother. It says live, but I don't see the microphone. Here we go. Here you go, brother. Yeah, I hear you now, brother. Go ahead.
Brother,
I'm on
the show, but what we got to understand that the devil is fighting is the truth. But imagine you say you can get killed among white people going telling the truth. You killed prophets of God for telling the truth. So you're in good company, brother, if they block on your show. If you was
brother.
Up here telling lies or talking about sports or something, the devil would never mess with you because he's behind you. But if you're going to tell the truth, he hates it. It's like what the man you say, the truth hurts the guilty. And who's more guilty than the white man of America? So I was talking to a sister out here at work, and she was talking about North Korea, Kim. You know, he, that bad guy, he's threatening the world. I said, that guy haven't attacked nobody. You see? He ain't attacked anybody. How many countries have America attacked? But he is the bad guy, right?
Right.
He ain't messing with anybody. He's staying over there by himself. They economically blocked him up. And I was watching a deal on Press TV where it was talking about North Korea. You let the white man of America and his media tell the people in North Korea, ain't nobody got a bowl of rice. He don't even have a trousers, right? But in the Press TV, North Korea is a modern country. It looks just like South Korea. But if you listen to this white man, they ain't got nothing over there. I mean,
the economy has expanded. Remember?
Yeah. Yes, but it shows you that the white man is a liar. This is what the messenger said. If he gains your confidence, if you
you're
trust
gonna.
Him, you're gonna. It's like a con man, you know. If he where he finds weakness is trust. If he sniffs out that you trust him, and he coming with a whole lot of game. Matter of fact, he'll take everything from you and have you out as a beg in the street. But that's what you trust him. So I was talking to this sister, you know, she's bad mouthing Korea and bad mouthing Kim and all of these people. And I said, sister, the man got good reason to be worried. I said, look what happened to Saddam Hussein when he got rid of his weapons. America attacked. Look what happened to Gaddafi when he got rid of his weapons. America attacked. If you disarm, that gives him the reason to attack you. And he'd be a fool to do that. I mean, he's not a Negro because a Negro is the fool. But this guy is not like that. He will not do that. And if he did, he's, like I said, a complete fool. He ain't messing with anybody. The only people he's messing with is America's vassal states that's saying that they're going to attack him. America has never signed a peace treaty with North Korea. So technically, they're still at war.
That's right.
Korea has asked so we can stop this. America say no. So why won't America sign a peace treaty with the man? Because he wants to attack. That is the where a scoundrel lives at. He attacks.
And let me interject before you finish your thought. Also on this point, since you're talking on it, when you say that he offered a peace treaty with America, let's not forget that he also offered to dismantle his nuclear weapons if the peace treaty was signed and America removes her weaponry from its borders, but America rejected that.
That's right. He's ready to attack. America is always the troublemaker. She is out of all of the wars around the planet Earth, 99.99% of them, he's behind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you understand the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the wisdom that he laid, see, he got the white man dead to right. It's the reason why he cannot live with anybody else, because he's come from the that brown germ that split. And killing, rape, robbing, lying, cheating. He done that all around the world. All darker people. He comes in and attacks. All Aborigine people, he wants to remove you. And like you said earlier, the only one that matters is Europe, America, Australia. That's what he called the civil rights.
And New Zealand and Canada.
That's it. He don't even consider other white folks in Russia civilized. and the people need to wake up to this man. But like the man said, the people around the world are pretty much straight about it. They know what that he's doing, and they preparing to take it. Salaam alaikum, brother.
Mm-hmm. Well, alaikum salam, brother. Good teacher, brother. Hold on 1 second before you start. Speak. I'm trying to mute the thing. I got you muted now, brother, because I have to tell people that when they're messing with the dashboard, because you may be talking to somebody privately, and it may air on the air. So now you're muted, brother. You can finish your conversation with whomsoever you were talking to. But go back to what he was saying about the Negro. You believe everything that this white man put on TV, except something good about yourself. So I say we have arrived. There's a chapter called Hiding the Truth. And the messenger says down here, he says, as you know, the revelation of the Bible under the title John teaches us that the old dragon beast referring to the white civilization deceived the whole world. And they have done just that. Stop right there. So it is Kim who is destabilizing, Kim Jong-un who is destabilizing the world, but he does not have one missile boat, one submarine, one warplane, or one piece of artillery equipment that's on somebody else's border. Not one. Except if you say he has it on the border with China. Okay, they share a border. Or you say he has it on the border with Russia. But it seems like Russia and China are not concerned with it. They don't see him as a threat to their security. But America lies some 10,000, 8,000, 10,000 miles away. Yet she has 40-some thousand troops on the border with him. B-2 strategic nuclear bombers on his border flying past his airspace. The Ohio-class nuclear submarines close to his waters, aircraft carriers, not just aircraft carriers, the super aircraft carriers, they say, were deployed to his borders. Yet he is the threat. Then they say that about when they want to demonize you, you're a dictator, you're a tyrant, right? And they don't respect you, so they demonize you, and they call your government a regime. Regime. Not government, that's to delegitimize you in the minds of the people. That's what they did to Gaddafi. That's what they tried to do with Assad, right? That's what they've done in Yemen, Somalia, and other places. The regime of Hugo Chavez. The regime of Nicolas Maduro, right? And now America, France, Germany, England will not recognize. See, they started this stuff down in Venezuela. They said that the people are eating out of garbage cans. This is the Western media, right? Then why the hell did the people overwhelmingly in Venezuela just vote for the government of Nicolas Maduro? 17 out of 22 governorships went to the Chavism or Chavoism. Huh? Talk back to me. If they eating that, if it's that bad, then why the hell are the people continue to vote for the people that are trying to lead them away from empire? Now America, Germany, Canada, England, France say they will not recognize the vote, even though, if you go ahead and Google this, hours before that, the International Committee for Democracy had already certified that it was the freest and the most clear and fair election held in the world. But America, because they men, their women, their people whom they want to put in, lost. And even so, some of the opposition has acknowledged. They said we need to take it and admit that we lost. But no, America wants to overthrow it because she wants to remain supreme. How dare that nigga, Nicholas Maduro? How dare that nigga? Because that's what they call him. A nigga, that's what they call him. How dare he stand up for democracy? All right? This is America. Democracy only counts when she wants to use it to invade your country, to set up whom she wants to run it. See, all around the world we're looking at. So Muhammad says, as you know, the revelation of the Bible under the title of John teaches us that the old dragon beast, referring to the white civilization, deceived the whole world. And they have done just that. Allah has taught me they deceived 90% of the total population of the planet Earth. Now, he says the only way the white race can survive and rule is by making false appear as truth and truth to appear as false. So, now you understand the propaganda in America. Now you understand the propaganda in Europe. Now you understand why they're attacking real media outlets that are trying to bring some truth to you. Because the only way that they can maintain their rule over you is by making falsehood appear to be the truth and truth to appear to be falsehood. That's magic. Is that not right? Misdirection, right? We know that the magician has no power. He can fool the mind with the sleight of hand. Is that not right? That is the basis of magic. The magician's sleight of hand. And he captivates the audience because he can misdirect you and make you believe in something that is actually nothing. This is what America has done. This is what the Western world has done. But God has come in person to uncover the magician's tricks and show it to you as it really is. They are liars for the sake of lying. And even their own people, their own so-called allies are moving away from them and will not submit. Matter of fact, let me play something if they'll allow me to play it. This shows you the position that America's in when her own so-called NATO allies are saying, we will not submit to you anymore. You heard what I just said? This is a tectonic shift geopolitically. This is an earthquake in political and geopolitical terms. When a subordinate of yours says, we will no longer submit to you, we will go our own way and make our own independent policies. This shows you that the empire is struggling and straining to keep her tentacles of domination over even her own allies. This shows you the time that we're living in. It shows you that America is in some deep trouble. And the empire is most definitely and most assuredly running on fumes. Listen,
Turkey says that it won't submit to impositions from the United States as officials from the countries hold discussions in Ankara to resolve an ongoing visa crisis. Foreign Minister Mevlüt Çavuşoğlu said that Ankara would reject any conditions that it could not meet. He supported his country's cooperation with the U.S., but said that's possible only if Washington's demands meet the rules of Turkish Constitution. Çavuşoğlu decried what he called an immature diplomatic approach by Washington and criticized the effect of the visa crisis on Turkish citizens. The two countries suspended visa operations in a tit-for-tat move earlier this month after Ankara detained two Turkish nationals employed by the U.S. consulates. They were arrested under suspicious links to last year's failed coup, allegations that the United States reject. We have Yunus Soner, the deputy chairman of the Turkish Patriotic Party, who joins us from Istanbul. You know, obviously it looks like there's some kind of friction between Turkey and the U.S. on this, but what's behind the scenes? What do you think has led to Turkey and the U.S. slowly to have this strained relationship? Does it have to do with some of the regional politics as they're being played out?
The regional politics constitute the positive side of the crisis. The negative side of the crisis, the conflict that has led Turkey to search for new allies, has been its conflict with the United States. The actual crisis about visa regulations is just one chapter. behind this crisis of visa regulation is the fact that the Turkish judicial system detained two Turkish citizens who were working for the U.S. embassy here in Ankara and in Adana. And these are accused to be part of the Fethullah Gülen organization. Now, the connection is the following. The Fethullah Gülen organization has been very active, among other things, in disrupting Turkish-Iranian relations by using sabotage methods against economical cooperation between two countries. In fact, people who have been active in this process of Turkish-Iranian economy are now accused in the United States. And these Fethullah Gülen members, accused members, have been detained. So this is just one chapter in the general Turkish-American war. Chapter one is Fethullah Gülen. Under chapter is Turkish-Iranian relations. But absolutely, this is connected with the Turkish search for new allies. And in fact, Turkish search for new allies and the reapproachment of Iran is an answer of Turkey against this U.S. intervention, you might say.
Okay, thank you for that. We appreciate it, Sonar. Deputy Chairman, Turkish Patriotic Party from Istanbul.
You heard what he said. Let me break this down for some of you who may not be able to make out what he's talking about. He said this goes way beyond the visas. This is about America's intervention into Turkey's domestic and political affairs and how America is trying to prevent Turkey's outreach for new allies. Listen to me good. If you're searching for new allies, then that means the old ones haven't met their responsibility to you, right? And he says that America is trying to stop them from becoming allies with Iran. That's what he says. Remember what we've been telling you, that eventually Turkey will move towards the side of the Muslims. Elijah Muhammad said it, and we're watching a slow step towards that. And America knows this. This is why she did not give Turkey the Patriots, the PAC-3 systems. This is why she didn't give her the most advanced weaponry. Excuse me. She gave all of her allies in NATO these things except Turkey. As a matter of fact, when she sold Turkey the F-16s, she refused to give Turkey the codes to the F-16s for friendly fire or enemy fire codes because fearing Turkey might fire on Israeli warplanes. This is true. Go Google this. So Turkish technicians overrode America's codes in the F-16s to allow them to fire on anybody. This is true. Brothers and sisters, I'm asking you this. Please go Google this stuff, what I'm telling you, okay? I don't just want you to take what I'm saying on face value. I want you to go see it. All of this geopolitics plays in the hands of prophecy of the great war that is coming to the MENA area, the Middle East and North African area. You see all of the chips are in place. You're seeing the move away from America, and you see the nations are starting to take sides. So this man says this is only chapter one in the book of problems between America and the Turkish nation. This is what he said. So it's a big old book, isn't it? And this is only chapter one of what he laid out. America wants you subservient to her, not as an equal partner. I want you to understand. Oh, and brothers and sisters, as I'm talking to you, we are definitely under attack. I'm trying to get to the dashboard, but I want to go back and revisit something that Rashid said. Brother Rashid said something profound, right to the core of not only of the show, but what Messenger Muhammad warned you. If you are a friend of this devil, if he gains your trust, then you are gone. If you believe in his showtime, of his media and his so-called alternative media, and he gains your trust with the Alex Jones, you know, they'll tell this devil to get you. He's going to tell a little bit of truth, but he's going to mix it in with a whole bunch of lies. So you have to weed through this. This is why you need to start a Crescent Report, because we watch these devils, and we see when they give you the truth and then how they throw a curveball with it, okay? But I want you to listen to something, okay, if they will allow me to play it in just a second. I hate that we're being hit so many times, but this is how we do this. But as Brother Rashid said, if I was talking sport and play and relationships, hey, they wouldn't bother me one bit. Won't you listen to this?
Reverend Podolsky, Jim Dean talks about diplomacy, talks about how there should be a diplomatic solution, but why wasn't that exercised back then? Reverend Podolsky did not address that. I'm looking at some of the stats. I won't bore you, but it's worth noting. 635,000 tons of explosives were dropped on North Korea that killed off 20% of the population. That's not something that can be ignored. My question to Brent Podolsky was that, and that was what major point of why the DPRK feels the way that it does towards the U.S. Tell us how that has played into the picture of the relationship between the two countries, Jim Dean.
Well, it really undermines the U.S. overuse of the term despot leader. It's not that the North Koreans are all prisoners of a tyrannical leader, although I do consider him kind of an oddball and actually a dangerous person as much as I consider Mr. Trump to be so. But the huge civilian casualties inflicted on non-combatants, huge war crimes, with just one of them being that the rumor started that the North Koreans were infiltrating with refugees that were flowing out of the north and that they had to be stopped. So Air Force planes were ordered to strafe the roads of refugees with 50 caliber machine guns and basically slaughter those refugees coming south to dissuade them from coming over. And this is absolutely verified, and they just considered this an expedient thing at the time. News was censored at the time, so the American people never knew it. So yes, the American, the North Korean people have not forgotten this. But
okay.
We've also, yep.
Go ahead.
But we've also got another thing in play here, something a very old game, and that's the good cop and the bad cop routine. We were very suspicious of Veterans Today when you had the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of State kind of contradicting Mr. Trump. That's usually not something you do when you're a high White House official. So we smelled kind of a good cop, bad cop type of thing, where Trump would do what he's very suited for, the wild statements, shoot from the hip, cowboy type routine, to kind of build up the Secretary of State as being the person that if North Korea does want to find a way out of this, including China and Russia, which certainly do, that they need to do more to kind of push in the direction of the Secretary of State and not antagonize the president anymore. And, of course, lastly, the whole backdrop on this, the silliness of destroying North Korea is absolutely ludicrous, because that cannot be done without South Korea being destroyed. And the U.S. would be blamed if that happened, and that would require, if there ever were going to be military action, a false flag would have to be set up that North Korea started it, so that if South Koreans were slaughtered by the time it was over, the U.S. could never be framed as taking a preemptive strike.
So you want to be on board with a nation that has this mentality. A nation that is a sociopathic nation, a government that is full of sociopaths. I want you to listen to something in the beginning of that clip again. Listen close to what he says.
Reverend Podolsky, Jim Dean talks about diplomacy, talks about how there should be a diplomatic solution, but why wasn't that exercised back then? Reverend Podolsky did not address that. I'm looking at some of the stats. I won't bore you, but it's worth noting. 635,000 tons of explosives were dropped on North Korea that killed off 20% of the population. That's not something that can be ignored. And my question to Brent Podolsky was...
635,000 tons. You know, a ton is 2,000 pounds. 635,000 tons of explosives that were dropped on North Korea, killing off 20% of the population. You don't think that's war crimes or crimes against humanity? But America can do it with impunity, and no one goes to jail. Think about Libya was bombed more. I think they said, if I'm not mistaken, I could be mistaken on this, but it was a lot. They said that Libya was bombed 10 or 20 times more, something like that, more than Yugoslavia was bombed in just a few months.
Do you understand? These people go around killing people and can justify this stuff. Do you not think that God is a just God and he would remove these people? This can't go on forever. We're looking at the fall of America, brothers and sisters. I know some of you don't like to hear that, but we got to be real about this. We got to tell it to you like it's supposed to be told to you, without addition, without subtraction, and we've got to show you how desperate this empire is to maintain a rule. She wants. That's why she's circling China and Russia. She's trying to prevent them from removing her dollar as the main source of her power. That's why she's arming all of these nations. Right? That's why she's starting these color revolutions, overthrow. And then notice this. Let me say this. Do y'all remember when the crisis in Ukraine started? This is something that I was talking to a person about the other day. And how they were blaming Russia for invading Ukraine, right? And I was telling some brothers behind, I said, Russia better continue to go. If they don't, America is going to go in Ukraine. And Russia did all she could to prove to the people who were blaming her that we have no Russian troops inside of Ukraine. Once America realized that there were no real Russian troops inside of Ukraine, guess what happened? America and NATO started what they call a training program in Ukraine to justify them bringing their troops inside Ukraine, right? The same thing with Syria. Before Russia got involved in Syria, right? And they kept saying that Russian troops on the ground. When Russia did everything she could, when Iran did everything that they could, to prove, not, what's crazy about this is these are allies to these nations. They're not, right? Iran has a defense pact with Syria. Why would you not go in to defend Syria? But you allow America to go in there. When you proved that you weren't in there, guess what America did? As I was telling a few people, I said, listen, America's not going to go into Syria yet. She's going to send those terrorists in there, and they're going to pinpoint the air defenses, and they're going to overrun the bases with the air defenses. Once they overrun the bases with the air defenses, that's when America's going to make her decision to go in there, because Syria has the pincer air defense systems, right? And with that, America couldn't fly with impunity in there. So guess what happened? The air bases in the north were overrun with the terrorists. Then America decides, once these air bases in Syria withdrew the Panzer systems from these air bases, that's when America went in there. But then Russia was late to the game going in, even though she had two bases there. Iran was really late to the game. Same thing in Libya, right? Same thing around the world. America will accuse you for something that she knows she wants to do. She's a liar. Europe is a liar. And they're trying their tricks of old to maintain Western hegemony at all costs. And this right here, the world cannot continue to allow. You understand? Because we're at the breaking point. The empire of war is running on fumes. You know this. All you have to do is look domestically. All that you have to do is look domestically. And you can see it within her own borders, much less outside of her borders. This is a very bad time for the empire to try to impose her will, because prophecy is against it. Prophecy is definitely against America. It is against Europe, because we're living in the midst of change. There's a great change going on, and the old world is dying out, and a new world is coming in. Brothers and sisters, I'm trying to talk to you. I'm trying to impart upon you some wisdom. Prepare for the inevitable. Get your mind right, your heart right, your house right, because a time is steadily approaching that will make the pregnant woman lay down her burden and the man with a head full of hair go bald. It is a time of great trials and tribulations, but if you are in the circle of power and protection, you will make it out of this. If you are not, all I can say is you've had the opportunity to see, hear, feel, and understand the gravity of what is going on. We're living in a time where God is removing an entire global order and putting in its stead a new order of freedom, justice, equality, and truth. If you don't make the right decision, you will find yourself on a side that is going down in flames. You don't want that, especially if you got family, especially if you got friends, especially if you got people whom you care about, especially in a time of utter chaos. Remember that the Savior is no longer to come. Remember that Jesus Christ is no longer to be prayed for to come. Jesus Christ is with us in person, and we can see the evidence of this. And I want to explain to you that Christ Jesus has the power to save you. And he has come under the title and name of Master Farad Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the liberation, the upliftment, and the redemption of 68 million of our kind first here in America, then the billions around the world, know this with a certainty that your little brother Rashid Muhammad loves you to life. But the love that I have for you pales in comparison to the love that God, who has come in person, his messenger, the last messenger of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the mighty, mighty, mighty nation of Islam has for you. Until we next meet again, remember, stay true, stay strong, stay real, but above all, stay righteous. Brothers and sisters, I love you all. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
Said I like the moon I miss. Day to day the roads we take. Walk around with
Look, at Hardee's, we think that if you're hungry and you have $5, you deserve a satisfying meal. Like one of our new $5 All-Star Meals, loaded with American classics like a Charbroil double cheeseburger, hot dog, fries, drink, even a warm cookie. But hey, if that's not your thing, you can always break out your degree in menu engineering, piece something together from the other guy's value menu. Or just swing by Hardee's, get yourself a real meal. The $5 All-Star Meals. There's no better way to spend $5. Price and participation may vary. Price is higher and less than Y. Tax not included. Introducing Hardee's $5 All-Star Meals. Loaded with satisfying classics. For just $5, you get a Charbroil double cheeseburger hot dog and, oh yeah, fries, drink, and a fresh baked cookie. Or a double cheeseburger, a spicy chicken sandwich, and what? The fries, drink, cookie thing again? Or hand-breaded tenders and, spoiler alert, fries, drinks, and cookies for days, y'all. All for just $5. The $5 All-Star Meals. Stop by Hardee's and get yourself one today. Price and participation may vary. Price is higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Tax not included.